How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're back! Back here in Seattle after a trip out there for WrestleMania weekend. It is our post-WrestleMania wrap-up show here on the program. And my God, a lot of stuff to talk about from WrestleMania weekend. So no time to waste. First off, we're joined, of course, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, I have been told by a secret source, it was actually you, that you've already got a room for Mania next year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Aha!
So now all I need is plane tickets and obviously WrestleMania tickets, as well as tickets to all the other events happening that weekend. I'm sure there won't be some, like Chikara and things like that, but Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate, and if anybody would like to donate to that, that would be fantastic. But if not, that's okay. I will be down in New Orleans again, which is a fantastic and fun city.
Are you saying Thursday through Monday, or what's your plan?
Yeah, that's actually the plan. I was setting it up with my brother, and he said, okay, I'm going to book the room till Sunday. I was like, no, we're staying through, because if that Raw is anything like the Raw from this past Monday night, I am all for it. If it's like the one a couple years ago in Atlanta, not so much, but if it's anything like that one, that's fantastic.
Now, are you staying at the Empire Hotel, or did you just grab reservations wherever?
It's near the convention center, and I can't remember exactly what place it is. We actually looked at the Riverwalk Hotel, which is really nice. We stayed there for the UFC a couple years ago. That's like $500 a night or something insane like that. So that was way out of the question. So I'm not sure exactly where it was, but it wasn't $500 a night.
All right, we are going to head to a break. When we get back, we're going to kick it off. We've got WrestleMania to talk about. Also, some notes from last night's UFC Ultimate Fighter finale. Lots of stuff this week, so back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot of stuff to get into today, so let's not waste any time. Mike, your thoughts on last week's WrestleMania show?
You know, I can't really complain about it, because I always have a good time watching it. We talked about it before the show last week, where it didn't. If obviously you had the big names, and you knew there were going to be big matches, and you knew this was going to be a big event and it was going to make a lot of money, but I think for the hardcore wrestling fan out there, there was a lot left to be desired going into it as far as looking at the lineup, and then coming out of it, that's exactly the same feeling that I had. It wouldn't really be fair to everybody working on it to say, in hindsight, it ended up being a one-match show with The Undertaker and CM Punk, because, again, there were a lot of good things on there. There were a lot of things out of the wrestler's control, like timing issues and lots of things like that, which played havoc on everything. But unfortunately, yeah, for a wrestling fan, that's what I got coming out of it was, you know, there was good stuff, all that's great. Jericho and Fandango had moments, and there were lots of things that were good and decent coming out of it. But as a hardcore fan, there was a lot left to be desired. There didn't seem to be a whole lot set up afterwards. So it'll be, I guess, interesting to see where they go from here. They can run their entire year off WrestleMania, whether they have a bunch of great matches or not. All you need is one or two marquee names and one big match on there. And, you know, the show is going to be the show. It's going to get a lot of media attention, and it's going to make a lot of money and have thousands of fans. And the way the weekend has turned into, it's become a Super Bowl type event. So you certainly can't cry for WWE. But with that said, you know, creatively, there just seems to be not a whole lot coming out of it for me.
Well, we shall see. It's been the first show coming out of it was Raw, which was actually a great show. But I've got a preliminary card for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which I will get into in just a moment. First off, let's just talk about some of the big matches, and then it'll make a little bit of sense where they're going with some of these things. John Cena beat The Rock to win the WWE title. No surprise there. Triple H beat Brock Lesnar in the No Holds Barred match, so Triple H does not have to retire. No surprise there. Undertaker beat CM Punk. Yes. No surprise there. Alberto Del Rio beat Jack Swagger to retain the world title. Fandango beat Chris Jericho. So far, every match exactly how we predicted it. Then we had Team Hell No beating Ziggler and Biggie Langston, which was a switch from what we predicted, at least what I predicted. Mark Henry beat Ryback, which, if you listen to last week's show, I said good chance that one was going to happen, and it did. And then finally, The Shield beat Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show. So really, the results up and down the card, virtually identical to everything we predicted. Randy Orton did not turn heel. Ryback got beat because they decided it's time to turn Ryback heel. Ryback is going to be facing John Cena at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And as noted, I'll get over that card thus far in just a moment. But top matches, Mike. What did you think? I mean, obviously not any big surprises, but any surprises about finishes or crowd reactions, anything of that nature?
Yeah, well, Triple H and Lesnar, and again, a lot of that may become maybe because of timing issues in that, you know, it was, you know, watching these things for a long time, I mean, there was no Divas match. You know, they always have something to kind of bring down the crowd. When you have two major matches going, you know, and you get to the upper part of the card when that happens, and they didn't have that. They didn't have a bunch of backstage skits or anything like that to kind of cool people off between Undertaker Punk, which was by far the best match on the show, and Triple H and Brock Lesnar. And it just didn't, I don't know what I was expecting. Of course, you can't expect a mid-80s style NWA bloodbath war between these two guys. And I thought it was decent, but I think my expectations were so high going in that this was going to be, I mean, it couldn't be more up their alley of two guys slamming into each other, and it didn't end up happening. And that was, I think, the biggest surprise coming from the show when I was, you know, watching it a second time. I did hear one of the announcers go, whoa, when they saw Brock Lesnar come out of his entrance, which I missed the first time because I was also saying whoa as well, because Brock Lesnar is just massively, massively huge. Outside of that, John Cena and The Rock, they both worked really hard. It was a good match. Can't say one bad word really about that one at all, but it was, you know, very pedestrian. And I guess if there was a big surprise, it may have been Undertaker and Punk being as good as it was and drawing people in as good as it did, you know, especially towards the end of it.
Yeah, I predicted that Triple H and Brock Lesnar would be the best match on the show, and it wasn't, by a wide margin. I thought that Undertaker and Punk would be good, but not great. I looked at the Undertaker's streak, not only of victories at WrestleMania, but also, now granted that star ratings are all subjective and that sort of thing, but in my opinion, based on my ratings for WrestleManias over the past, I think, 8 years or something like that, Undertaker has had the best match on the show 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012. And I thought, I don't know if he can do it this year with CM Punk. He hasn't wrestled in a year. He's all banged up. He almost didn't do the match. Punk just didn't seem into the storyline on television. Just a lot of things going against it. And they went in there and they had the best match on the show. They had the most heat of any match on the show. And in fact, when all was said and done, the streak of Undertaker wins and the streak of best matches continues. And granted, 2007... I actually had him and John Cena and Shawn Michaels tying for best match, but still, it still had the best match in a lot of ways. So that's pretty impressive to be that old, that beat up, and to be able to go out there every single month and put on a show like he's doing. He is an incredible man, and I predict that next year at WrestleMania, it is going to be the Undertaker versus John Cena. and I predict it will once again be the best match on the show with the most heat.
Yeah, if that's yes, and you have to make that bet every year. I mean, it's a great example of, you know, the Undertaker started as just a gimmick guy. He became a guy that people grew to believe in and trust and really enjoy and get into. And you know, if you do that and they believe, you could do I'm not saying he doesn't do anything in his matches or anything like that, or it's the first 45 minutes of a Johnny Valentine match, but it's, you know, it's, you can do a lot less and get a lot more out of it. And he proves it year after year after year. And it also shows that, you know, just, he needs the rest so incredibly badly. We talked kind of about the aesthetics of, like, he and Shawn Michaels and these guys we've watched for so long, actually now legitimately really looking old. But with that said, because of the type of event that WrestleMania is and because The Undertaker is in the very unique position that he's in, I mean, as long as he looks somewhat like The Undertaker and as long as he can still tombstone a guy, you can do this really for as long as he wants to do it.
I just feel also next year that if John Cena continues on as the John Cena character that he is, which I expect him to do, I just think that, like, you'll be able to convince some people that John Cena would beat The Undertaker. If anybody would beat The Undertaker, it would be John Cena. I think you can convince people of that. I think that there are going to be, obviously, the pro and anti-Cena contingent, as there is at every WrestleMania. And I think that the pro-John Cena contingent, little kids and such, are really going to want to see history made in front of their eyes with John Cena being The Undertaker. And I think that the anti-John Cena fans are really badly going to not want to see him break this streak. So I think the heat for this match is going to be exceptional, especially inside a building. It's going to be it's not an open-air arena in New Orleans, so the sound is going to travel a little bit better. It's still probably, I mean, it's not going to be like if they did this match at Madison Square Garden, for example, a smaller building and the acoustics would be better. And if you did a WrestleMania there, I mean, I can imagine it being one of the, one of the legendary matches of this era, but I think it still could be next year. It may not come across quite as well on TV as it will in the building. We're going to head to a break, back in just a moment to talk more about this. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out if you grab the TuneIn Radio app for your iPhone, your Android, your various, whatever your mobile device might be, the TuneIn Radio app. You can listen to this show every Sunday, archives as well. It is a great little app. You can listen to all of the great Sports Byline programming on this app. So make sure you check that out on iTunes in particular, if you've got the iPhone, as I do. And we're talking here about WrestleMania and the potential of John Cena versus The Undertaker. I think that Undertaker is going to wrestle, and I hope he does, for as long as he physically is able, because it's the best thing at WrestleMania every year. Live, I had so much fun watching this match. My wife was there. She's not really a wrestling fan at all, but she knows some of the people and that sort of thing. And she was right there along with everybody else having fun watching this match. It was just a great time. And I love the story every year of the unfortunate geek whose task it is to try to beat The Undertaker. And he tries with all his might. He cheats. He has a buddy. Whatever the wacky scheme might be, like out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And at the end of the day, as always, he's foiled. I love the story. I hope it goes on forever.
Yeah, so do I. I guess what you really run into is, you know, how many guys, I mean, it's one thing we were saying, like, you know, people don't believe CM Punk is going to beat The Undertaker. I mean, if you think about it, like, in a perfect world, if guys were built up correctly and all that sort of stuff, you know, you could make the argument that Wade Barrett, this probably would have been a good year for Wade Barrett if he had kept up his streak after Nexus and was this, you know, legitimate, badass, you know, crap-kicking dude. I mean, it was the Nexus that laid out Undertaker after WrestleMania as a way to write him out a couple years ago. But when you know, imagine what people would say about Wade Barrett if they don't give CM Punk a chance going in. And, you know, there's very few guys out there that they can get or bring back to actually, you know, go up against The Undertaker. Obviously, Steve Austin, and you know, that would be an incredible thing if you just had one more. That would be awesome. Sting would be awesome. John Cena's awesome. But, you know, obviously The Undertaker, if he can do this for five more years, that would be incredibly awesome. But I guess it's just the problem of who can you actually get who is so entertaining, you know, that they can make people get into the fact that at the end of the TV that they watch, at the end of the half-hour match that they're going to have, that, you know, it's going to be as good as some of The Undertaker's past performances, and, you know, why am I going to get into this?
We got to talk about Fandango. First off, what do you think of his match with Chris Jericho?
I thought it was good. No, it's not. Johnny Curtis hasn't been one of my favorite guys, seeing him on NXT or anything. I did get into the whole, you know, get in the van character, which is kind of how I wish they would have had him portrayed than such an over-the-top character like this, which, you know, it strikes me as a Brodus Clay type of thing. A lot of people said I should lighten up when it came to just being shocked to see Brodus Clay out there dancing, but, you know, he was kind of a killer when he was with Del Rio, and my whole, you know, argument was let him go out there and try to get over killing people first, and if people don't believe it, you have this out of, you can bring Snoop Dogg on and say, well, you know, Brodus, what happened to your, you know, you used to, you know, after beating up people, chill on the tour bus with the women and all that stuff. And I thought the Johnny Curtis.
So basically exactly what they do with Tensai.
Well, yeah, in a way. And obviously his stuff after last year's WrestleMania, I mean, from the first match that he had with, Alex Riley, there were a lot of things they blew it with him. But you know what? Yes. You know, if you end up having lemons out of taking a serious approach to someone, then go ahead and make lemonade. Just don't have the extra sweet drink ready to go. And I think that's in
the sweet
kind
tea.
Of the way they have with, kind of the way they have with Fandango, where I know people are kind of into it, but I have a feeling that a lot of people are more into Fandango because it drives other people nuts, and I don't know if that's the best thing for him. But the match with Jericho, it's not like he has, you know, just came off a show or anything like that. He's worked for a long time. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but I thought he held his own, and I think he may have made some believers out of this. You know, he certainly got the ball now, especially with what happened after Raw on Monday night, and I think they have the ability to go somewhere with it, but I didn't see SmackDown, so I don't know what happened there, but from what the tapings, you know, I heard about the tapings, he didn't get over, you know, and some of the chants didn't get over as well, and he came across as just another mid-carder, which is very disappointing. Now, it's really early in the game with him, but when you have expectations built up that high, at least at WrestleMania, working with Chris Jericho, he held his own, so that's good, because I guess realistically, you have Chris Jericho in a big match, you know, big stage match at WrestleMania. If you can't keep up with him, then there's probably going to be no hope for you, but he obviously has, so I guess we'll have to see.
The best thing that could ever happen to Fandango is that they're going to the UK, because I know some people are going to be upset to hear this, but this to me, it's like it's a passing fad, this excitement over Fandango. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But the Fandango match with Chris Jericho was like, it's a good match. I was not blown away by it. I was not blown away by Fandango. I mean, just watching it, it was like, here is a guy who was able to be carried by Chris Jericho, which probably isn't all that hard. And they had a good match. And I'm not sure how he's going to do when he's in there with, say, Alberto Del Rio or any of the heels on the roster. You know, I don't know, or any of the baby faces on the roster. I don't know how he's going to be. I don't know how many. I don't know what legs this character has. Obviously, with the WrestleMania crowd and all the folks from the UK and Ireland and Australia, they were super into the guy, and they found something really funny to do, and it caught on. Now, do I feel that, like, in 3 months, arenas will be rocking, singing the Fandango theme? No. And I'm not sure that anybody, even the biggest Fandango fan, actually believes that's going to happen. Maybe it will. Like I said, the best thing that could happen to him is that they're going over to the UK, and there's a chance that on television for the next few weeks, this Fandango insanity is going to continue. And if it continues for 3 weeks, maybe it really will catch on over a longer period of time. But if they were in, say, I don't know, Michigan for Raw this coming week, or Boise, Idaho, or wherever, you know, if they were in your random U.S. American city over the next couple of weeks, you know, going from the Mania experience to even Boston, Massachusetts, huge drop off in interest in the Fandango character. And it came across on SmackDown that way, and it would have come across in any other city for Raw this Monday, probably the exact same way. Now, I could also tell you that the Fandango craze, trying to get his music into the top 40 over there in the UK, it ended up failing at the end. He did make it to, I believe, 43, but he didn't make the top 40, and it's still extremely impressive. But what happened was, after WrestleMania for like 4 or 5 straight days, like the people desperate to get into the top 40 did a hell of a job. But over the last three days, it died off, and that's why it didn't actually make the top 40. That's what happened with the music sales. So even in the UK, the interest was like hot for 4 or 5 days and then fell off. And I don't know what it's going to be like. I expect on TV that people are going to be going nuts for him tomorrow at Raw, and probably SmackDown as well, and maybe the entire time they're over in the UK. But it feels like a novelty fad gimmick, all of this excitement for Fandango, and I don't know where this is going to be in a month. I could be wrong. He could be the biggest star in WWE in 6 weeks, for all I know. But my guess is it's probably more passing fad than anything else.
Yeah, it probably is. You know, hopefully, you know, for his own sake, because, I mean, he's been, you know, up and down a lot. I mean, he's been debuted on SmackDown, I think, twice before this Fandango character. You know, he's just been around kind of forever now that, no matter what, it's more of a character, it's you know, a step ahead of Brodus Clay, and you definitely don't want to be, you know, below Tensai. But yeah, as far as him being a major player or anything like that, I guess time actually will tell. I'll say this, it is amazing that it did take on a life of its own where people were honking. It's one thing to sing in the arena and hum the music along, but you know, honking the horns outside, you know, in unison, and singing it on subways in New York City, and having Robert Flores, who grew up in Houston, Texas, a big pro wrestling fan, Paul Bosch fan, you know, humming it on ESPN coming back from a break on SportsCenter. Obviously the fans on Raw, that's again why I want to stay next year after WrestleMania, because for the past couple of years, especially this past Monday, that European influence and that hardcore wrestling fan influence, if you grew up watching pro wrestling and a lot of it, you kind of probably have the ability to have a quick wit and to kind of, you know, be a dick. And, you know, that came out great on Monday. And if for nothing else, for that one night, Fandango was a star.
He was a star. And it's funny because I get emails and people tweet me going, oh, man, you should have known Brian Fandango. Johnny Curtis was awesome and developmental. And I don't know if, like, I don't know if people realize this or not, but WWE history is littered with the bodies of guys who are awesome and developmental, and they died in WWE. Not,
and
like,
I think that's a little bit
away.
Of an overstatement, too. There are a lot of people that really liked him and got into him, but with that said, I don't know about awesome in developmental would be the way to say it.
Sure, but I mean, I could tell you a million guys from developmental that were great in developmental, and they just died off in WWE. Not even necessarily for anything that they did. I mean, it's WWE. It's Vince McMahon. It's creative. You know, this is all great for Johnny Curtis. This is all awesome for Fandango right now. But you want to know what's really funny on Raw? When he got beaten up by Chris Jericho and laid out, and then on the mat, flat on his back, he muttered his own name, and everybody laughed. And it was like, yeah, that was awesome. But you know what? If Vince thinks that's funny, this guy could conceivably be beaten up every single week on Raw, mutter his name into the mic, and become nothing but a geek comedy figure, which has no life in WWE. You can never tell what's going to happen with a guy. So we'll get back to this after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out online for daily news updates, daily radio shows. We got so much audio on the website, it's ridiculous. If you love this show, Wrestling Observer Live, you need to sign up like immediately, because you'll be able to hear wrestling radio every single solitary day. You can download it to your listening device, listen to it at work, in the car, during your workouts. I went to WrestleMania weekend and met so many awesome people, and so many of them were like, thank God for your website. I have something to listen to on the way to work every day. You can be one of those people. Just check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 per month. And as noted, radio shows every single day. You don't have to wait till every Sunday for a new edition of Wrestling Observer Live. You can hear radio every single day. And not only do you get new audio every single day, if you sign up today for $10.99 per month, you can have every single show we have ever done. They're all in the archives. Every show we have done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives right now. So never miss out on wrestling and MMA audio again. Sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. I guarantee you, you will love it. So sign up today and join the fun. Any final thoughts on Fandango before we move on here?
Well, yeah, I'll disagree with you in a way that, you know, I know that there's a longstanding phrase, and it is absolutely true that funny doesn't make money. And, you know, we talk about where Fandango goes from here, and you talk about him, you know, possibly becoming a comedy character, and, you know, in a lot of ways he already is, but it depends on, and I don't know, I don't know Johnny Curtis, so I don't know what he wants out of wrestling. If it can be a character, I mean, you can make fun of Funaki and Santino and a lot of guys like that, but I would almost rather be in that position with a gimmick like that and to have a job for 15 years and have a pretty damn good paycheck and to get residuals than be a guy like, I don't want to say Bray Wyatt right now, like, because, you know, there's no history with him yet, but a guy that they would bring up, immediately kill, and he goes, Michael McGillicuddy, and then basically goes away forever, not because he's not talented, Ted DiBiase Jr., not because he shouldn't be there, but because they didn't know what to do, and then he's out. I know that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel in a lot of ways, as far as, you know, making, you know, a negative into a positive, but in a way, if that's, you know, what he's willing to do, and coming in with a character like Fandango, you know, he could actually hope for that and be okay.
Did you see the interview, by the way, with Bret Hart, where on two separate occasions, when asked, he said that he believes The Undertaker should lose at WrestleMania, and that the person who should beat him to end the streak is Michael McGillicuddy?
I did not, and I don't know how you can possibly fathom that. I just don't know. If he was coming in brand new as Kurt Hennig, I just know. It would take me a lot of time, and it wouldn't make much sense and to try to make that work.
Here is the card for Extreme Rules, everybody. It is, as of earlier this week, this could change, The Shield versus Team Hell No and The Undertaker in a gimmick match, which, of course, was set up on Raw Monday night. So Undertaker being in there and standing side-by-side with Team Hell No was an angle to set up an actual wrestling match. John Cena versus The Ryback for the WWE title after Ryback turned heel on Raw this past Monday night, which was met with an enormous ovation because he beat up John Cena. The Big Show versus Randy Orton versus Sheamus in some sort of gimmick match. It is Extreme Rules, everybody, so it is a show with a bunch of gimmick matches up and down the show. Dolph Ziggler versus Alberto Del Rio for the world title in some sort of gimmick match. Chris Jericho versus Fandango in some sort of gimmick match. And AJ versus Caitlin. Brock Lesnar was scheduled to be on the show, as was CM Punk. They may still be on the show. There's no match set in stone for them yet, but that could be made clear whatever it's going to be tomorrow. Rock is not going to be there. He tore his abdominals, his adductor muscle, and I think something else, hip flexor, I can't even remember. He tore some muscles off the bone. He will not be having them reattached because that would be the end of the Hercules movie, which is a big, big, big time, big budget movie. So what he is going to do, believe it or not, he is not going to have them reattached, which I don't even know how that works. How can you have the muscle disattached or whatever the word is from the bone? Like, that's what a muscle does. It helps move. For example, my bicep helps pull my forearm up towards my shoulder. If that tears off the bone, how do I bend my arm?
You're flexing right now, aren't you?
I do all the time when I do this show. But the point is, he's just going to let everything scar over. Seriously. And then I guess get surgery later. So I know a lot of people think this is not a real injury, but I'm telling you, I am not his doctor. I don't know 100%, but the guy tore his muscles off the bone. It sucks. He's in a lot of pain, but he's trying to work through it, and it's going to be a miserable experience. But that is the update with The Rock, and there
I
you go.
The hernia would get me more than the adductor muscles.
Yeah, you cannot move without being in intense, constant pain with an injury like this. But he ain't missing out on this movie, so he's a crazy man. What are your thoughts on this card? Anything? Any surprises?
No. Actually, you know what? The response of the fans to Dolphin Del Rio, and again, this is not Del Rio's fault either. But you know, I that to me would be the most interesting thing. Ryback, I don't think has got. He's only got a limited amount of legs, and I know they're going to turn him heel, and that's actually the best thing that could probably happen, because that way he doesn't have to talk. He can be in short matches, bang people around. People will still want to catch, you know, do his catchphrase. Fine. You know, I'm actually okay with that. You know, Cena's probably going to get cheered pretty good in this, too, by a lot of people. It's, you know, one of the better things that better guys they could have Cena go up against as far as trying to get a better response for John Cena, at least in his current character. It'll just be, I guess, who turns, you know, how it works with Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. I guess that's about it. I mean, realistically, this is the type of show where if they go to a network and you're playing one flat fee for a month, this is one of those shows where it's like, you know, you'll make out being a wrestling fan because it's going to be tough to spend 50 bones, basically to me at least, the Shield and Team Hell No and Undertaker.
Wow, that was quite a flourish after that final statement.
Sorry, the ESPN app on the phone there. I
pictured,
apologize.
I picture you making that statement and waving a wand.
Actually, and you know, I just let you know my streak for the cash failed. So now I've lost two in a row. Damn it, ESPN.
Sorry, man. Now, my final statement about WrestleMania before we talk about last night's Ultimate Fighter finale is that I had an awesome time. I say this every year. If you're a wrestling fan, you got to go to WrestleMania. Go to WrestleMania. Follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. I'll give you all the information about where we're going to be, how you can meet up with us. I mean, at least 100 people I met from the website listeners, and they were awesome. We had so much fun. We did all sorts of cool things, and we do it every year. So next year in New Orleans, it's going to be even better because we're in New Orleans. So if you want to have the time of your life, then start making plans, start saving a little bit of money, and get ready to go to next year's WrestleMania. And I promise you, if you're a fan of this show, you will have the time of your life. So get ready, everybody. And you can meet Mike Sempervivi, who's already got his hotel room booked. So a double whammy. Mike, last night...
I will take you to that piano bar that we went into for the first time when we were in New Orleans, where I walked up to the bar, ordered a beer. She hands me three of them. I look at her and go, what is going on? She points up and says, it's three for one. It's happy hour. Not even two for one. It's three for one. So I said, do I have to drink all these beers? And she said, yes. And I did. Meanwhile, the person I was with was ordering a hand grenade because that's New Orleans' big drink. And she asked him if he had had a hand grenade before. And he said, yeah, I had one down the street. She said, no, you did not have a hand grenade. And meanwhile, by the way, she's wearing a New Orleans Saints bustier. She begins to make a hurricane for him and also pours a bunch of grain alcohol all over the bar and lights it on fire as she's making the drink. Yes. You need to have real grain alcohol if you're going to have an official New Orleans hurricane, if that tells you anything about what could happen next year at WrestleMania.
Time of your life, everybody. Last night, Ultimate Fighter finale. Uriah Hall, the by far the favorite for this season and maybe any season in history. Supposedly the scariest man in the history of this show, sent four men to the hospital, lost. Lost to the guy who was chosen last at the beginning of the show. Because, in fact, anything can happen in a fight. That was one of the big stories on the show. And the other was the Misha Tate lost to Kat Zingano. Kat Zingano, in one night, became a star. She won herself a shot against Ronda Rousey. She won herself a shot on The Ultimate Fighter as a coach opposite Ronda Rousey. And Misha Tate, out the door for the time being, having to fight her way back if she wants another shot against Ronda Rousey. And what were your thoughts on the show last night, in particular that fight and the finish?
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole thing because I was out last night, but I caught the Faber fight and I caught the end of the Zingano fight. And I got to be honest, you know, obviously for short term, if you're looking just at the marketing aspect of things, I think Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey, you know, it's too bad Tate didn't win. With that said, I mean, to build women stars and to have, you know, a bunch of people who, you know, people would want to see, Zingano winning, I think, is great. You know, people obviously already, they'll pay to see Ronda Rousey. They like to see Misha Tate. I don't think this loss really hurts her at all. The fact that she was very competitive, it's not like she was getting hammered through it. She was, you know, winning the fight. And Zingano winning, I think it's good. And you have a good story with her, you know, being the first mom, and they touted that, to be in the UFC. And I think it was good. I'd like to actually, wouldn't hurt my feelings to see those two fight again, but I think it's good overall for, you know, bad short term because Misha is far more marketable. She is, you know, more aesthetically pleasing, I think, to the crowd that is going to watch the Ultimate Fighter show with those two as coaches being on there. And I think those two as a dynamic with the fighters that they're going to have, you know, would have stood out more. But with that said, I think it's overall better for the health of the sport, especially women fighting in the UFC and being accepted in the UFC, with Zingano winning.
Did you think the stoppage was early?
Yeah, I do. I think it was a little early, but, you know, it's it's still, and again, I don't
Did you think it was early? Here's a better question, since we talked about it last night. Did you think it was early because she was a woman, or do you think it was an early, I'm sorry, do you think that it was people that don't believe it was stopped early thought so because she was a woman, or just because they thought it should have been stopped earlier because she was getting destroyed with knees?
You know, that's 50-50, because I think, you know, I don't think anybody's going to admit who's a fight fan that's the case. You know, no, I accept women's fighting and all that stuff, but still, there is a level. I can't watch All Japan Women's Wrestling. Some of the blade jobs and stuff like that they did, to me, is just insanity, and the stuff they do to their bodies. And I think subconsciously for a lot of people, it's the same way. With that said, we have this debate with a lot of fights, you know, with dudes, you know, women, it doesn't really matter. So it's just, to me, it's one of those things.
I don't know. I thought the fight was stopped on time. I realized that Misha was moving forward. I realized that she, you know, wasn't out on her feet, but she just took such a vicious beating, not because she's a woman, because she's a human. You know, if I'd seen a guy take this series of knees, I'd have been screaming, stop the fight! But things happen, you know, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Rousey. Just said something like, you know, if you didn't want the referee to stop the fight as you were taking all those knees, then you shouldn't have been in that position in the first place, which kind of a you can argue whether that's a good argument or not, but that was her thought. We're going to be back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking last night's Ultimate Fighter finale. And Mike, any final thoughts on last night's event?
Not really, other than my wife's a big Uriah Faber fan. I'm a Uriah Faber fan. And Scott Jorgensen, I'm a big Scott Jorgensen fan as well. But I'm impressed with Uriah Faber, and I know there's people that just, you know, he drives nuts for whatever reason. But again, impressive win for him because, and I don't know, Jorgensen, I don't think has been as dynamic in his last couple of fights as he was to start the beginning of his career. And he was going in against a guy who he's trained with a lot and who's been very, very good. And I don't know if he's there, you know, Faber dominates him in training or anything like that, but I would bet that Faber beats up on a lot of guys. And I think he had all the advantages last night going in psychologically, as well as skill wise, but just again, an impressive performance for a guy, who's just a, you know, fight in and fight out, whether he wins or whether he loses, which he does usually in title matches anymore. Still very, very impressive.
He's like the real-life Chris Jericho a couple of years ago. Can't win the big one. He wins every single solitary fight unless a title's on the line. It's kind of astonishing, actually. So he wins one more fight. He's probably going to be in line for another title shot. And, you know, you can make a pretty good story around it. Of course, he better win after that. Or, you know, it's not like pro wrestling where you can say, guy can't win the big one. And then you build up to the big final big one and he actually wins. This is real life. So I guess we'll see how it goes. We are out of time, everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening. We've got a lot of great shows up on the website right now. In fact, if you go to WrestlingObserver.com, we have a free show up if you click on the audio tab with myself, Dave Meltzer, and Mick Foley talking the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. It was a great time. It's available on pay-per-view right now, the Hall of Fame. So head up there and check that out and enjoy it. So we are out of time. We'll be back again next week with a brand new show. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And we shall talk to you again after a while. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network.